I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey. And Radio Monterey brings you unfiltered, uncensored information. And we're going into a transition right now. I'm going month to month of shutting down, not shutting down. But right now, we're operating 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. You can go to RadioMonterey.com and take a look at what we're doing. My intention is, unfortunately, to shut down at the end of the month and only run some podcasts on Radio Monterey. But for right now, take a look at what's out there. Get the information being brought to you by the hosts and the shows. Be better informed with your life. Magic for Life is also the promoter-producer of the Rota Psychic Fair, which we just had the last weekend of October. We'll have again this coming October of 2017. And we're going to have some smaller events throughout the year, some quarterly previews and other smaller little readings and healings events. So get on the email list of rotapsychicfair.com so you can be informed of those events as they're coming on. Now, we have an interesting aspect coming up on Monday, and I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but it's another, you know, one of our traditional Mercury retrogrades. The impact of it, though, is it's coming on the day the Electoral College will meet, and so I want to talk a little bit about that toward the end of the show. But for right now, for those of you who listen all the time, you know I love me some Day by Day with James Allen. Now, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, in 1903, and he took the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, James Allen wants us to know that our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts and actions. What we put inside ourselves is our beliefs, our intentions, our guidance, our direction, is what created our reality, whether you like it or not. However, our future is not predestined by our present reality. Every day when we awaken, we have a new opportunity to create new beliefs, new thoughts, and new patterns that create a new future for us. So just because you didn't do it yesterday doesn't mean you can't do it today. And for those of you who are following along on the preview calendar of the month, remember that today, I'm looking at the January. I don't know where I put my December, so I'll come back to that later in the show. So today is the 15th day of December. We are just about halfway through, since it's a 31-day month. We're just about halfway through this month of December. And as you know, this is the transition month of the new energy of the new year. And here's my December. So I mean, I'm going to touch on that very, very quickly. And today is the preview of March 29th and 31st, as well as the summary of March. So each day in December is a preview of 1 week of the first 6 months of 2017. So when we take a look at what we did today, what happened to us today, was there something we needed to resolve or work on? Or is there something where we felt a little less than or a little more than? Or did we overinflate? Did we have something really positive happen? Take a moment to write that down and keep track of that, because March 29th and 30th and the summary of March, we're going to have a similar experience like that. And today was really our training wheels to figure out what skill, what talent, what do we need to do to bring to that event when it occurs at the end of March. So let's get back to Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in Day by Day with James Allen, James Allen's 1903 essay is broken down into a little segment for each day of the month. And for today, he tells us, dreams are magic sparks. Dreams are the seedlings of reality. And so he wants us to know, in the 1996 Atlanta Olympics, Celine Dion performed a song called The Power of the Dream. And some of the lyrics are, deep within each heart, there lies a magic spark that lights the fire of our imagination. Your mind will take you far. The rest is just pure heart. You'll find your fate is all your own creation. And then her song ends with this final verse that says, there's so much strength in all of us, every woman, child, and man. It's the moment that you think you can't, you'll discover that you can. And that's important for us going forward, for everything going on in our country right now, for the disruption, for the confusion, for the craziness, for the insanity. It's important that in the portion of the world you control, which is your life and what you do and who you interact with and how you choose to be, you have full control. And I like to always share a little bit from the Daily Word, which is put out by Unity. And for December 15th, it tells us, my understanding expands as I am in service to the divine. Each and every one of us is here to do a life of service. Our service is different. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's worldwide service. But each ripple we put in the pond where we are can go out and affect the world in some way. So look at what we do and how we interact and who we meet with and what we say and how we share, and recognize that whatever it is you're doing, you're being of service. And speaking of service, that leads us right to our segment host for today. Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. Now, he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. Now, his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with individuals and couples to help them resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations from San Francisco on down to King City. He's also a distinguished Toastmaster, and in 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. So Dr. Buss joins us on the third Thursday of each month to share his segment, Speaking of Listening. And let's have this little musical introduction to Dr. Buss.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within, it's only beginning. Find relief.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As Solazar said, I'm your host for this segment, Arne Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving your relationships by listening and communicating from your heart. And you can contact me for information about all the various offerings that I have, or to do personal facilitation. You can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart. That's all one word, consciousawareheart.com, ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. And you can also visit my webpage, which is www.consciousawareheart.com. And listening is not just about hearing the words the other person is saying. It's so much more than that. It's about engaging the person in a dialogue, even if you're listening to what they're expressing. And it often involves decoding hidden messages that lie beneath the words themselves. See, communication is not just about what's in the words. And various numbers have been thrown about, but regardless of whether you believe the numbers or not, it has been established that much of what a message is being given is not in the words. It's nonverbal communication consists of much of what is being conveyed. And in fact, if you're paying attention to someone, and there's often a disparity between the words they're saying and their nonverbal cues. So they may be saying something and rolling their eyes or shrugging their shoulders or otherwise expressing a disconnect between what they're saying and what their body is saying. And generally, it's the body and the nonverbal cues that tend to be more accurate about what's going on. And I'll talk more about that in another segment. But today, this is kind of one of the more advanced topics. And this is concerning how to respond when you're giving an impact statement and the other person is not 100% going along with what is being requested. So, of course, I want to review what the elements of an impact statement are, and then I'm going to talk about how you can track resistance to the impact statement with using gentle challenges, and ultimately reasserting the limit with using something I call an override. And then I'll talk a little bit about why these impact statements are so beneficial to relationships. Now, you're probably familiar with something called an I message, and it's often the feedback I get is, oh, impact statement is just an I message. And that's actually not the case. There are a number of reasons why what are described as I messages are not quite as effective as they could be. And indeed, when I ask people about this, the feedback I generally get is that these so-called I messages don't seem to produce the desired results. One of the reasons why I teach impact statements is that because I have experienced and people who I've worked with and have heard about who have approached these issues with impact statements have found a much better resolution, a much better outcome with the relationship. So what is an impact statement? The idea of an impact statement is that when you want to establish a limit or a boundary with something with somebody else, and it usually comes up if something is not okay, something is going on in the relationship that is not okay with you. And ultimately, you're requesting a change in behavior. But there's a twist to how this is being done, and this is the key to what makes it so effective, is that you're not making demands, you're not telling the other person what to do or how to do it, but nevertheless, the other person gets the message that there has to be some kind of change. Now, the idea, if somebody does something that's not okay, the optimal time to address it is when it happens the first time. The first time something happens that's not okay, if you address it immediately, then it doesn't fester. It doesn't cause an ongoing problem in the relationship. The sooner the better. And a lot of times we hesitate to bring something up because we don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. We don't want to have a conflict. In fact, one of the most common resistances I get to presenting impact statements to people as well. Every time I bring something up like this, it just gets into an argument, and I don't want to get into an argument. Well, I think you can, you know, and the chances are that you may be thinking that or feeling that or have experienced that, but hearing me say it, I think that you can see that it's coming from a place of fear. And how does avoiding a situation that's not okay with you help the relationship? How does that help you? Those are rhetorical questions. The answer is it doesn't, and it doesn't. Now, what if something has been going on for a long time? Well, the impact statement is a little bit different, and if I have some time, I'll address that, and if not now, in a later segment. Now, as with tracking and listening, the key elements are first and foremost to have an attitude toward the other person of unconditional positive regard. And I just love that phrase. I mean, that's something that goes back to Carl Rogers in the 40s and 50s, an attitude of unconditional positive regard. And just because the other person is doing something that's not okay doesn't make them wrong as a person. And so the key is to not make them wrong. And by not making them wrong, I mean to not criticize or blame. That's making wrong. Now, when you're giving an impact statement, it's the flip side of tracking. If you remember in tracking, we only use the pronoun you. But for impact statements, we use only the pronoun I, me, or my. We do not use you, your, or anything that contains the other person, like we, us, our, or you don't make anybody else wrong, like they, somebody, anybody, anyone. You know, a lot of times it's very challenging to restrict the pronoun to only I, me, or my. And when I work with people, they often try to slip out of it by, you know, well, somebody, anybody, you know, when they really mean you, the other person, or people or persons, or that's certainly not a person's name. And only I be, you know, why is this important? It's important because you're expressing what's going on for you. And the more that you keep that just with you and not with anybody else, the more effective it's going to be. The more that you include the other person when something is not okay, in a sense, you're blaming them. And, you know, the thing is that nobody is to blame for something that's not okay with you. Nobody's to blame for your feelings. Nobody can make you feel anything. And nevertheless, if you're in any relationship of any kind, there is going to be some form of conflict. There is going to be something that the other person does that is not okay and that you want to see changed. And that's where an impact statement comes in. Now, there are three elements to an impact statement. The first is a non-blameful, non-judgmental description of what you observe. And it's so important to not be blameful, not to be judgmental. You know, think of a video camera. When you watch a video camera, it has no feelings. A video camera has no opinions. It has no judgments. All it does is it records what the visuals are and what the sounds are. So what do you see? What do you hear? What do you observe? That's the first step. And that can be quite a challenge. When I work with people on this, it can take quite a little while to get the judgment out of it. But that is so important. Because if you're just describing something objectively without any judgment, then it's that much easier for the other person to simply take it in and not feel defensive. And the last thing that you want to do is have the other person be defensive, because if when they're defensive, they're going to defend. And when they defend, then it is essentially a roadblock to having an effective outcome that's beneficial for both of you in the relationship. Okay, so for the first step is a non-blameful, non-judgmental description of what you're observing. The second is you state the tangible, concrete impact on you. And that can be included in the first statement, depending on, you know, if you want, especially if you want to make it as succinct as possible, but tangible and concrete. And you want it to be as specific and as tangible as possible. In other words, just because you don't like it, I mean, investigate, inquire into yourself. Like, why is it that I don't like it? I mean, it's not enough to say, I don't like this. Why don't you like it? What is going on? What is the, again, there must be some tangible impact. I mean, consider this. I mean, supposing you're in a relationship, again, by relationship, I mean anything from an intimate relationship to an acquaintance or a friendship or anything in between. And, you know, especially in the wake of the election that we've experienced, there are people who are on all sides of the aisle. And the thing is that communication, I think, is key. I think one of the reasons why things are so difficult today is that hasn't been enough effective communication. And I really believe that. So just because your uncle, let's say, voted for the other candidate, that in and of itself, like what his opinions are, have no tangible and specific impact on you. Now, if he starts berating you or making you wrong or criticizing you because yours are different, now that's different. That is a specific and tangible impact. But just his beliefs by themselves have no tangible impact. They're what he believes. And everybody is entitled to what their opinions, their thoughts, and their feelings are. So if it's hard for you to come up with a specific tangible impact on you, then you might want to reconsider and rethink what this is about. Maybe the change doesn't need to come for the other person. Maybe the change needs to come from you. So again, first step, a non-blameful, non-judgmental description of what you have seen. The second step, the tangible and concrete impact on you. And that's where it gets its name, the impact, because that's so key. And then finally, what you describe, the desired result. And the key on this is that you describe what your outcome is, what you want your outcome to be, without telling them what to do or how to do it. You still only use the pronouns I, me, and my. In other words, the desired result is what I want my experience to be, not what you need to do. And that is so key. This is where I feel that the so-called I messages go off the rails, because they usually conclude with, I need you to do X. And we don't like to be told what to do. I mean, ever since we begin to be conscious beings as little ones, little ones don't like to be told what to do. Big ones don't like to be told what to do. I don't like to be told what to do. And the chances are that you don't like to be told what to do. And then, so the chances are that the other person doesn't like to be told what to do. Now, does that mean that there's no change? And again, this is why impact statements are so important, that they allow the change to take place in a positive way without anybody feeling demanded or made wrong. So here's an example. So, you know, so supposing we're going to have lunch at noon. So I show up at noon, I'm sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting, and then you come in a half an hour late. Okay, now the ideal time to address it is really right then. So here's an impact statement. I would say, and then notice how I don't mix pronouns. I only use the pronoun I, and see if you can pick out the three elements. I might say, today it was agreed to meet at noon for lunch, and I was kept waiting until 12:30. As a result, I wasn't able to enjoy as much time together as I'd hoped, and I was also late getting back to work. I want to be able to count on appointments being kept at the agreed-upon time. Did you hear the three elements? If you had heard this, would you feel criticized or blamed? I hope not. Now, when you give an impact statement, there are generally one of three responses. One is there's an agreement to make a change. And in that case, it's not enough to just accept that. What you want to do is you want to track the agreement and verify the assurance. And again, that's where tracking plays a key role. Tracking plays a key role throughout all of this. So even if they agree, track to verify that they understand what the change is. I'll give examples later. The second is response would be resistance to either try to distract or to disagree or defend or justify. And then you want to track the resistance, but then reassert the limit. And I'll talk a little bit about how the tracking on that is a little bit different. And then the third is really just no response. And even if you don't get a response, you can track the non-response, because that often indicates a kind of passive-aggressive attitude. I'll talk a little bit about each of these. So first, if there's an agreement to make a change, say, I'm so sorry. I'll be sure to be on time. So what you want to be, you track to make sure that they understand what the impact is and the necessity for making a change, and then try to detect whether it may be difficult for them, whether or not they acknowledge. And then to verify, and you say, well, that so I can count on, on appointments being kept on time from now on. So they might say, I didn't realize it was so late. I was just, I'll make sure to be there on time from now on. And then you say, so then I can be assured that in the future, it'll always happen on time. Now, if they resist, then you want to track them, but it's a little bit different than basic tracking, and I just want to talk about that for a moment. See, when you're tracking to hear and validate, then you go wherever they go, because you really have no opinion about that. You're just trying to go where they're going, and you want to let them know that they've been heard and validated. But when you're tracking resistance, you don't want to go wherever they want to take you, because a lot of times, if they're resisting you, they want to talk you out of your desired result, and they want to avoid having to make a change that they might find difficult. So there's were gentle challenges, which I've talked about in previous segments. So use those when the limits are being tested. And if the gentle challenges still don't produce agreement, then you want to use an override. And again, be sure not to mix pronouns. And sometimes here there's going to be a you. If you use you, then you don't use I. So here are some examples. They might say, it's so hard for me to get here at noon. I'm trying my best. Or, you know me. I'm just late for everything. That's just who I am. Or you just need to accept who I am. This is who I am. So then to track that, and this is a gentle challenge. So then I'm not going to be able to count on appointments being kept on time. So that was tracking, and it used I, but it didn't mix with you. Now they might say, why are you being this way? So then this request is not okay with you. Again, regardless of what they say, you can still track, and that was also a gentle challenge. Now they might say, I'll try to be on next time, and I'll try to be on time next. And this is what this is kind of the Yoda principle. Remember, do or do not, there is no try. I'm not going to try to do Yoda, but that's essentially what he said, and that's a beautiful phrase. And so try is the operative word here. So then, you say, so it's possible this is going to happen again. Well, I said I'd try, and I wish I felt comfortable with that, and I don't. You're just being difficult. That may be, and I would still like to be assured that appointments be kept on time. Again, just don't let them get talked out of it. At that point, what you're doing is you're not tracking them to follow them. This is what's called an override. You're basically not even getting into it with them. Now, what if they don't have a response? Track to silence. So why are they being quiet? You might say something like, you know, so there's something about this request that troubles you. Or you might say, maybe you could express your thoughts about what was just requested. Again, don't mix I and you. Again, and when we switch to tracking, remember, the impact statement only uses the pronoun I. Tracking generally only uses the pronoun you. Now, you might be asking, well, what if they agree, but then next time they're late again? Has that ever happened to you, where somebody makes an agreement and then just blows it off? Well, then that moves to a different kind of impact statement. And that's the beauty of addressing these things as early as possible, because now there was an agreement, and the impact statement is not so much about what was the original issue, which in this example is being late for lunch. The impact statement has to do with keeping agreements, and that's a very different thing. If the other person has agreed to be on time from now on, and then the next time or the time after, they're late again, and we're talking, you know, major late. I mean, if you don't want to kind of, oh, the 5 minutes late, oh, you need to be reasonable about this. But if it happens again, and the chances are it may, because change can be very difficult, the impact statement is a very different one. It was, you know, it has to do with being assured about agreements. Say, I was assured that appointments would be kept on time, and today it was 40 minutes after the agreed time. I want to be able to count on what I'm being told and be assured that promises will be kept. Because the second time, there was an agreement, a promise that was broken. Now, before you give an impact statement, it's important to check, have several checks. Okay, one is the three Sufic gates, and this is just a beautiful set of things, and those are, is it true, is it kind, and is it necessary? I hope in hearing the examples that I've given that they have passed all three of these gates. They were true, they were kind, I wasn't being critical or blaming, and it was necessary. It was necessary because I want to meet my own needs. I don't want to be a martyr. Martyrs are not effective in relationships. And also, does it help the relationship? It helps the relationship if I make it clear to the other person what my needs are. Because if I don't express that, how do they know? I mean, have you been in situations where just you kind of blow about something because you've been sucking it up and white-knuckling it for so long, and the other person had no idea. I had no idea you felt this way. I had no idea this was a problem. That's why it's important to address it as soon as possible. Does it encourage helpful behavior change? Does it maintain or raise even the other person's self-esteem? See, because impact statements are good for the relationship. They keep me from building resentments. You know, so if I'm white-knuckling and I'm just kind of gritting my teeth and putting up with all of the, I mean, eventually I'm going to have lots of negative feelings toward the other person. This way I'm addressing my needs, I'm bringing it out in the open for a discussion, and they allow the other person to make a helpful change as a gift to me. And this is where that third piece is so important. Remember, the third piece is not telling them what to do or how to do it, but saying, this is what I want my outcome to be. It allows the other person to make a change by their own choice. And in fact, it allows them to give it to me as a gift. I just find that so delicious. And when I do that, I'm being open. I'm being honest and authentic. I'm expressing to them what my needs are. And I also keep them safe while expressing my needs, and that's so important. It allows them to be responsible for their behavior change. It doesn't make me a parent to their child. It doesn't make a demand on them. And yet, it does meet my needs. Now, it may be that there's no mutually acceptable result that's forthcoming from an impact statement, and that that does sometimes happen, that is an indicate that there's a that there's something else going on. There's a conflict of needs. In other words, my need is in conflict with some need of theirs. And so what I would do in that case is I want to find out what need of theirs is not being met by somehow making a change to meet my need. And that moves to an entirely different area for another segment, which has to do with negotiating these kinds of conflicts. And in that, you want to find creative solutions that meet both of your needs. You know, so why were they late? Maybe they were late because the places we're meeting are very far away from them. Well, we could arrange to meet at a place closer to them if it's a place I can get to on time. You know, there are many creative solutions that have nothing to do with anybody being wrong or having bad intentions. And if, you know, the bottom line, you know, express a change that you're willing to make, you know, just a gentle consequence that, you know, if it's not possible to count on having the agreed upon time, then I'm afraid that I won't be willing to meet for lunch anymore. Oh, you're just being difficult. Well, you know, that may be. And since I can't be assured that it'll be met on time, then I'm not willing to be meet anymore like this. I'd like to find some other way that we could meet at other times. And again, the whole negotiation and dealing with that is a topic for another segment and another time. So today I've talked about impact statements and specifically about how to track resistance to an impact statement. I've reviewed the elements of an impact statement and talked about how important it is for relationships and how you can track your resistance with gentle challenges, reassert your limits with overrides, and how to deal with this situation where you can't come to a mutually acceptable result. My experience has been that in 99.9% of cases, that an outcome that happens is beneficial for both individuals and for the relationship. And it's just a beautiful thing. And especially with the holidays coming up and the chances of interacting with family members for which there are maybe a past history of conflicts or, you know, especially in the wake of the election, possibly some heated discussions about the election. Stay in your heart. Stay in your aware heart. Don't see the other person as being wrong or not okay. And until then, and I'm not sure exactly what the new format is going to be. I hope to be part of it. But you still have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I so appreciate you joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every first and third Thursday at 5 o'clock, right? Or every third Thursday. And again, I'm not sure what the new format is going to be, so stay tuned for information about that. To learn more about it, you can visit my website at www.consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word, consciousaware.com. You can email me at ahbus@consciousawareheart.com. Like me on Facebook at AwareHeart, and my Twitter is effect5com. That's effect, the number 5. COMM. And until next time, remember to listen from your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside, someone I thought had died so long ago.
Well, that was Dr. Arne Buss. Speaking of listening, as you heard, he'll be here the third Thursday of every month. And that was fine. That will continue regardless. It's just what I'm going to do with Radio Monterey is not the same as what I'm going to do with Good Vibrations Radio. So just stay tuned to goodvibrationsradio.com and you'll keep finding out what's going on. So I mentioned before as I started that I was going to talk a little bit about this Mercury retrograde in Capricorn. And an interesting thing occurred during the show while Dr. Buss was talking. Someone had posted something with a source from Breitbart.com. Now, I don't care what someone's political beliefs are, but I will tell you this, that Breitbart.com is not an accurate or credible news source. And you have to be very careful with what comes from there. So this person posted an article that said 37% of the precincts in Ohio had a larger voter report than they have registered voters. Now, of course, this is coming out in response to what Jill Stein was doing, trying to get recounts in several states. But it came from Breitbart, and I just responded to check your source. And I've got to read what this person said back to me, because I'm astonished. It says, Solazar, I know you can't see this now, but President-elect Trump is helping to expose the evil on this planet. That evil includes the satanic pedophiles in the cabal. John Podesta, Hillary's campaign chairman and Bill's chief of staff, is part of that vile spirit cooking network, as evidenced by the leaked WikiLeaks emails. Trump's election will also include disclosure of the secret space program and hidden technologies to benefit humanity. Hillary Rodham Clinton's defeat is a win for us good people who believe in service to others and the uplifting of humanity. I don't know about the rest of you listening out there, but if you believe that, this is not the show for you to listen to. And I've got to say this, I'm astonished. I'm astonished of the person this came from, and I'm astonished with what they included in it. I just don't know how to respond to that in any level or capacity. But I'm going to say this, this Mercury retrograde, when Mercury goes retrograde, it appears to be going backwards in the sky. It really isn't. Obviously, that is a physical impossibility for it to happen. So a retrograde is when a planet appears to go into that backward cycle. And generally what we say astrologically, that when a planet is in retrograde, it's really its energy and influence is driving us more inward than outward. Now, Mercury retrogrades are known for confusing communication, for creating problems with computers, creating problems with automobiles and drivers. So it's going to be retrograde in the sign of Capricorn. And Capricorn is a sign of persistence, a sign that's an earth sign. And it's very grounded, but it's very stubborn and very persistent and very slow to make a change. So what we've got is our little planet of words and thoughts and driving and all things electronic, Mercury, as well as our daily routine, is going to get a little tossed into the Cuisinart for mixing and chopping and grating, starting at 2:55 a.m. Pacific time on Monday. Now, when in Capricorn, all our carefully laid plans can become like nails screeching across a chalkboard. We begin to see loopholes and pulled threads everywhere we look. And we're left wondering how our entire plan could have suddenly become so full of holes. So watch out for drivers. Watch out. Mail gets lost. Christmas presents will go on back order. Your printer will stop printing. Passwords. We just had 1 billion that are reported by Yahoo that, of course, were from before, but they're reporting it now. But passwords could get hacked and maybe get hacked by Russia and published by WikiLeaks. Who knows? And everyone now knows that you spend your time looking at porn instead of doing real work. That's what really happens. But so shop early, change your passwords. Don't expect things to arrive on time. And don't expect what others say to you to make sense. Kind of almost like maybe this person who wrote to me is already in their own Mercury retrograde. Naturally, people are going to have trouble understanding what you say. Now, with the Electoral College meeting on this day, it could be a time of being on guard against all manner of plots. Right now, we've got this issue going on about briefing them, about foreign interaction into the election. It's a big issue based on the emoluments clause of the Constitution. But what it really is that people are going to be fighting, like this this response I got, which was bizarre. People are going to be fighting for their political agenda. They're not having dialogues. My dialogue was, that's really not a credible source, even though I didn't say it. You really should check that. The response is absolutely, I don't understand. Clearly, I don't understand what good is being done for me here. So don't expect necessarily big electoral college surprises. I don't know if there's going to be a surprise. I don't know if there's going to be issues. I do believe we're at a constitutional crisis. But with Mercury retrograde, I'm not expecting some big response happening on Monday that's going to turn the election upside down. I truly don't. I think it's a tough time to be paranoid about the incoming administration, and especially since Capricorns are determined to keep others from taking their assets. So, for instance, if you apply it to the incoming administration, they want to do what they want to do, and they don't want us to take it from them. If you're part of the people that says, wait a minute, there's something wrong, we want that there's something wrong, and we don't want the incoming people to take it from us. So we just have to be careful of those polar oppositions going about with what Dr. Buss was talking about, of how we try to approach our communication with people. You know, as a last word kind of guy, I chose not to respond to this person because all I would really be doing is inflaming a situation. I was saying, just check the source, satanic pedophiles. I'm sorry. That's a little out of my league, truly. So we're going to have to work a little harder as Mercury goes into retrograde. It's going to stay retrograde until January 8th. And boy, there is so much posturing going on right now in the country because of this election, because of everything going on. This is a time for us to slow down, to breathe, to smell the flowers. If someone says something that really upsets you or offends you, or like you really want to react even to what I've shared that this person posted, go breathe some air. Even today, we're here in the Monterey area where it's raining. Still, go outside. Get some air. Get some movement. Shift the energy inside you so you don't engage. Now, the other thing that's going to happen also on Monday at 1:23 a.m., so it actually happens before Mercury goes retrograde, but it's Mars will enter Pisces. And as we know, Pisces is the last house in the 12th house astrological of the Western astrology. We have 12 houses. The last house is Pisces. Pisces tends to carry some of the energy of all the other signs in it. It is a very sensitive sign. So when we have our planet of Mars, which is aggression, Mars really reveres itself in Aries, you know, a fire sign. Let's get out there. Let's get to the head of things. So we have this drive, this energy, vitality, and fire going into Pisces, which is deeply sensitive. It's water. It's intuitive. It's flowing. And now we've got water going on top of this drive. We're going to find ourselves, the water will like the fire, but the fire will feel smothered. So our pride, our gusto, our moving forward momentum is going to feel a little drowning at the time. I don't know who is going to hit stronger on our electoral college today, but it's going to be, we're all going to be feeling it. We may feel a little confused and tired, and then you couple that with Mercury being retrograde, so we may be a little tired, a little stressed, a little confused, and then we have our communication being off put. Recognize that people will blurt things out on those days that'll just come out, and don't, it's one of those times when we say, try not to take things personally at all, and try to be careful about what comes out of your mouth when you open your lips. Pisces is very expressive. It's a mystical energy. So this is a good time for each of us to try to treat the day as more of an internal time. Write, build, craft, do something creative that shifts your energy so you don't feel the need to engage in dialogue that could actually be counterproductive. Definitely don't try not to be sensitive. Don't take what others do personally. Remember, everybody in life is most concerned about themselves, not about you. Not about me. You're not concerned about me. I'm not concerned about you. Even if we have empathy, even if we care for each other, we are most concerned about ourselves. So when people are reacting, they're reacting from a place inside them. It's not about you. Again, release your steam and burst by walking. Don't bottle it up. Use the magic of this transit to allow you to get more clear inside on what's important to you, what you want most to come out of it. And you're going to feel very compassionate toward others, but don't become condescending. Don't be that type of perceived compassion where you're patting the people on the head like you would a little boy, instead of actually feeling like when Dr. Buss talks in Speaking of Listening, when he talks about connecting through the heart. Feed the hungry, rescue puppies, do something that makes you feel good about yourself and about the world, and don't be condescending at all. It's really going to be a challenging, challenging time. Remember, we're leading forward to our solstice next week, our solstice on the 21st. And that's really important because the sun will enter into the sign of Capricorn. It's our life giver, the sun, as we know. We need to get our new bearings, and with the planet in Capricorn, we're coming out of the Sagittarius and we're moving into Capricorn. We're going to find ourselves grounded and slowed all at the same time. Capricorn also takes no shit from nobody, which is the other thing. So we can't eliminate everything else that's going on, but we're going to get a good hands up from the rational and diligent Capricorn, which will allow us to kind of focus in and accomplish the things that we intend to get done. This weekend coming up is the virtual psychic fair. And I want to remind folks, you can go and connect from rhodaspsychicfair.com. And I'll also put it on goodvibrationsradio.com. You can call into the virtual psychic fair, have a reading. There'll be sessions. I'll be doing a workshop on 2017, a short one, but I'll be doing a workshop on 2017. So it's a good time for all of us during this season. Before things start happening toward the middle of January going forward with the inauguration, the new administration, everything that our Republican Congress is going to try to do to try to tout themselves and say what a good job they do, before all those changes start hitting, get clear on what's important for you for 2017. Get clear on what little price or prize you can hold on to in 2017 that will keep you focused on your life and your living and the beauty of your divine gift. The one thing I agree about with what this person writes is that we should all be focused on being of service and uplifting humanity. It's just I can never understand why somebody who would want to be of service and uplift humanity would vote for Donald Trump. I've got to be honest. There's nothing redeemable about the man. There's nothing that he actually knows. He's a con man. He's a crook. He's been manipulating people for years and bullying people on the other side. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I challenge you to research this man's background and see how many people he has taken advantage of. This is not an admirable person, and he is a reality star. He seems more admirable because people saw him for 9 years on Celebrity Apprentice, or Apprentice, rather. So I'm just saying, if you're going to uplift humanity, that's not your person. I'm not saying Hillary Clinton is your person either, but you can't mix those two things together. They're concepts that don't work, just as I don't understand true Christians, if you're truly a Christian, why you would vote for Donald Trump. I'm not saying you had to vote for Hillary Clinton. So I'm asking all of you who listen to this show, who listen to this podcast, be brutally honest with yourself as to why you made the choices you do. But don't bullshit me. Don't tell me you did it to uplift humanity. because that's not an uplift humanity choice. There's nothing about his choices for his cabinet. There's nothing about what Mitch McConnell is saying they're going to, and Paul Ryan are saying they're going to do in this Congress that is uplifting to the people of this country. We have taken a giant step backward. It's a scary step. It's a frightening step. And I'm not asking you to be in fear. I'm asking you to be more like Howard Beale. When Howard Beale said in the movie Network these words,
"I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
But get up and get mad as hell and say, I am not going to take it. When people start taking away your rights and your abilities, make sure you don't sit by and just say, well, I can put up with that for now, or, well, that doesn't affect me. It affects you. And let's close with this last little bit from that same movie Network.
Edward George Ruddy died today. Edward George Ruddy was the chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble.
So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. You're never going to get any truth from us. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your televisions. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off.